The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher@nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning and welcome back to the Nonprofit Voice. I'm Allison Brecker, your host of the show, and my guest this morning is my friend, who is the CEO and founder of Math for Science, Justine Henning. Math for Science is a relatively new nonprofit organization based in Brooklyn with the ambitious goal of trying to change the way that math is taught in our public schools. And before our break, we were talking about some of the actual lessons that you've taught in some schools in Brooklyn and Manhattan, possibly expanding out into New Jersey and elsewhere. Tell me, what is the typical Math for Science lesson like?
A Math for Science lesson starts with, as I mentioned earlier, the image of one of our STEM professionals. It's the kids walk into the classroom and they see a huge photo of a scientist, engineer, computer technologist. We try to match these in our pilot lessons to the identities of the kids in the classroom. When we did pilot lessons at Park Slope Collegiate, where many of the kids are African American, we made sure that Tysheena Robertson, a civil engineer who grew up in Harlem and helped develop the first commuter railroad in Denver, that she was the first image they saw when
That's
they walked
really
into
interesting.
Class.
So right away, you're trying to make the connection for children between what they're learning in school and someone who ultimately made a career out of it.
That's right. And we're also announcing something's different today, right? They walk into the classroom and it's not math as usual. There's not a do now problem on the board. They're not supposed to just sit down and get right to work with the numbers, not really knowing why they're learning about that math. Instead, there's a picture of somebody who looks a little like them and is clearly doing something interesting. There's a little bit of information about what that person does. Then we turn away from that and we ask the kids this initial question that connects their lives to what that person does. And we give them a chance to talk. And this is actually helpful to the teachers as well, because they get to develop relationships with the kids in some new ways. Learn things about the kids who don't normally raise their hands. You know, how do they get to school in the morning? What do they know about bears? What have they known people in their lives with cancer? There is a conversation that happens, and this is a really important part of teaching, something that I've learned over the years. You really need to connect to the kids in front of you, find out what their lives are like, make them laugh, let them make you laugh, find out what they love and what bothers them about the world. So there's an opportunity for conversation, and that conversation leads to information about what the STEM professional does. And what the STEM professional does leads to the math lesson and math practice, which is another very, very important piece. We recognize the importance of helping kids develop math proficiency, helping them become self-confident and knowledgeable and fluent in math. And right, we believe that they can all do that.
With the Common Core math curriculum, lots of children are being taught math in different ways. And sometimes that works for some children and maybe doesn't work for others. Is that something that you've observed as well?
Absolutely. One of the issues in the ways that the tests themselves have changed and also the curricula in math classes have changed in recent years is that things have become very wordy. And I recently interviewed an applied mathematician who is of Latino background. And she grew up in East LA, went to schools that weren't too great. When she got to this country, she didn't know English very well. And she found most of the classes in school very challenging because there was a lot of reading and writing in English involved, and that was a challenge for her.
Well, it's also a challenge for, if you think about it, students who, not just maybe who are English as a second language learners, but perhaps are dyslexic, vision impaired.
Absolutely.
Lots of different learning needs and learning challenges, and the Common Core math curriculum just simply doesn't work for a lot of these children.
That's right. So now this mathematician was able to thrive in math class. She didn't need the English skills as much in there, and she discovered that she liked math. She ended up studying with Jaime Escalante, who is the subject of the movie Stand and Deliver. He came into that school, was very distressed that the low-income kids from low-income families in the school were not asked to excel in math. They were only taught at the remedial level, and he changed that. He started a calculus class. He had kids taking the AP calculus test, and they did so well that there was a controversy. You can find out more by watching the movie Stand and Deliver, which is about him. This scientist, Erica Camacho, actually studied with him. He inspired her to go into math. And I just wonder whether she would have been able to succeed in the same way in math class today, because there's so much reading involved in math. She actually might have found it just as difficult as the other classes because of her developing English skills.
Well, lots of people listening, teachers, parents, students, there's a lot of growing dissatisfaction with the Common Core movement, or at least the way that it's been implemented. And like you were saying, Justine, wordy test questions, even involving math. How do different kids struggle with math? And why was math and changing the way that it's taught so important to you?
So some have language problems. I hope it's obvious that what we're doing is actually very wordy as well, because we connect every math problem to work done by one of our STEM professionals, and doing that involves a certain amount of words. But baked into our program is also an option called Just the Math. Teachers can produce worksheets, and kids are going to be able to click a button on our Explore Math pages to strip away a lot of those words and get down to just the math so that they can succeed without having to read a lot. We're very sensitive to differentiation, to creating different approaches to the math for different kids. Starting with that question about kids' lives when they come into the classroom engages everyone. When we were at one of our partner schools, there was a student who I'd been observing. I'd been in the classroom for many weeks before we piloted the lesson, getting to know the kids, getting to know their names. And this student was someone with, I guess we would have called him part of the special ed community. He had some learning challenges, and he actually had the opportunity to learn math outside the classroom with a specialist. And he had rejected that opportunity because he wanted to be with the other kids. He wanted to be normal, or what he thought of as normal, and in the classroom, which was interesting. But it was very challenging for him to do the math normally. And the days that we did math for science lessons, we opened with questions that he could answer. How do you get to school in the morning? What do you know about bears? And he was raising his hand just as eagerly as the kids who normally had their hands up in math class. And suddenly the teacher was learning things about him she didn't know before. And he was, you know, the message was, yes, you can participate in math class too. This is for you too.
Well, my guest this morning is Justine Henning, the founder and CEO of Math for Science. Math4science.org is their website. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but you can also find them in school, and they're changing the lives of children, really one school at a time, and the way that children learn math. Justine, let's talk about you and how you got involved with this. This clearly became your purpose. You started a nonprofit all around this whole concept, which is no easy feat. How did this become your mission?
I mentioned earlier that when someone told me not to study math in college, I listened to them, and I want to make it impossible for anyone to give a young woman that message and have that message get through.
And I want to point out, for if in case someone didn't hear earlier, it's not just that you were taught that when you went into college. This is Harvard. When you went to Harvard, you were told, don't take math. It has no resonance to your sort of day-to-day practical life.
I think that's a pretty... Yeah, it was someone at my high school who said it, but that's right. And actually, just as importantly, it was possible to pass out of math at Harvard. I'm not sure that should be the case either.
Mm-hmm. No, it's pretty interesting. And so how did that become your purpose to change the way that math was taught?
I had conversations as I was starting to teach math as a homeschooling instructor a few years back. I was also talking with a friend of mine who's a mechanical engineer about his work with his students and his colleagues' frustrations that they had so few women and members of minority groups who reached the PhD level in engineering. And I knew that this was also true in some areas of science and math and tech as well. He pointed out that one of the reasons that people didn't tend to reach the doctoral level was that the women and members of minority groups who made it to the master's degree level in these fields were so unusual that they tended to be snatched up by companies right away. And I thought, this is an opportunity for kids. There's a huge need in this country for people to enter these fields. And part of the effect of not having enough Americans well-prepared, well, good enough at math and with the right degrees to enter these fields is that the pay tends to be fairly high in many of them. So this is an opportunity to increase your family's income, to enter a career in which you can make a difference, you can fight climate change, clean up the environment, cure diseases. And I just thought, how can I connect what I do, teaching math and teaching it well, to getting the news out that kids should actually bother to work hard in math class, go on to college, take math and science classes, and enter these careers.
And speaking of teaching math and teaching it well, how is it that you get your curriculum into schools? Do the teachers reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? And is it teachers or is it also after school programs as well? Tell us about that.
Well, through my tutoring and because I have two kids of my own who've been going through the public school system in New York City, and then through outreach, you know, when you start, I'm sure you're aware, when you start a nonprofit, you tell everyone you know about it. And I learned this actually by developing my tutoring business. If you tell everyone what you're doing, they will start to connect you to the people you need.
This is how we reached our 70 scientists. Like if you build it, they'll come, right?
Exactly.
So if you have a good idea and you start spreading the word, they'll come to you at some point as well. And is that what you started to find?
That's absolutely right. I talk to everyone I can about what I'm doing. I reached out and I continue to reach out to teachers and principals in different schools. We have an educator survey we do to find out how they're teaching math, what challenges they face, what successes they've had, how in a perfect world they would use math for science, and then what parameters would limit their use of math for science so that we can build the most effective, helpful program possible.
And in just 2 years, you're already bringing your curriculum into a number of area schools. Is that right?
Yes, we have three partner schools now. We've had large after-school programs approach us. The Boys and Girls Club of Newark, New Jersey, actually contacted us through Twitter. Mm-hmm. And charter schools have expressed interest and other after-school programs. So, and we're talking to people even in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And it's not just the teachers who are going to have an interest in what you're doing. There's a very large, rather vocal anti-Common Core movement in the United States, especially here on Long Island, where people move to Long Island in part because of the school districts and because of their reputation. And so a lot of the things that you're doing are going to resonate and inspire a lot of parents out there. If someone wants to learn more, where should they go?
info@mathforscience.org. The number 4 is a number. If you write an email to info@mathforscience.org and let us know how you'd like to be involved. Would you like to connect us to great math educators or principals who are interested in using our materials or who maybe we should do our survey with? If you'd like to connect us to scientists, technologists, engineers, and mathematicians, we're always expanding our pool in our Explore Science pages. We want kids to see all different kinds of faces and meet all different kinds of virtual mentors through that program. So you can connect us to them. Let us know how you'd like to help. And go to mathforscience.org, click donate, and support our efforts to build an interactive online math curriculum and get into schools across the country, letting them know how to use these materials and make them their own.
Well, what I like most about your organization, I like so many things, but one of the things that I like most is that you took a problem such as your own dissatisfaction with the Common Core math curriculum and you made it into a positive change and you did something about it. How does that inspire some of your volunteers?
Well, first, I guess I'd like to clarify that we do represent a new approach to teaching math. It's one that incorporates the Common Core so that schools that are Common Core aligned are able to actually teach children the math that they need to know to succeed on the tests. I think many of us agree that there is too much testing and too much of a focus on it in some classrooms, but the reality is many, many kids need to take these tests and succeed on them, and the math that we are teaching is aligned with that and goes beyond it to really engage kids and connect the math to their lives and to these careers they can be in.
Well, it sounds to me like you're really embracing the real spirit and goal of the Common Core standards themselves, which is to raise the bar. And I think that's a message that tends to get lost in a lot of the sort of chatter around Common Core curriculum, and there's a lot of focus on teacher evaluations and the fact that educators are not necessarily the ones designing the test. And you're almost bringing math back full circle to the ultimate goal of the Common Core standards themselves. And what kind of success stories are you seeing with some of the students who have gone through your program?
Well, when I was observing classes before we piloted lessons, I noticed that most of the students in the classes I was observing actually were very capable. They have the potential to use math to do wonderful things for our world, but many of them were not doing their homework, so they weren't getting great grades and weren't doing very well on tests in class. And when we came into class, and I'll talk about the lesson in which we presented the work of civil engineer Tyshina Robertson, the woman from Harlem who is in Denver helping them complete work on their commuter rail, the first one they've had. We did a lesson connecting what she does to algebra and equations for lines. And one of these kids, who was one of the smartest kids in class and yet not doing his homework, not really achieving, not always participating, had the opportunity to ask questions of Tyshina at the end of class. We asked everybody, what questions do you have for her? And we promised that we would send the questions on to this civil engineer. He raised his hand over and over, and one of the questions that he asked was, because he'd heard that she grew up in Harlem, he said, did she live in a housing project when she was a child? And I just thought, wow, this is a really meaningful question to this child. And he's also, you know, there's a lot underneath that question. And I think part of it is, could I really do this? Could I really do what you do? So she heard the question, or she read the question in an email, and her response tells you something about how important this program is. She said, no, I didn't grow up in a housing project. But she didn't leave it at that. She really also understood that there were many questions behind that one. And she said, I grew up in Harlem, and she named the street she grew up on. And then she said, right near the, and named a housing project that was right near there, so that this child would understand that, yes, if you live in a housing project or near a housing project in a low-income neighborhood, and you have the kinds of struggles that she was saying we both have had, yes, you can become a civil engineer.
Right. So Math for Science is changing the way that math is taught in schools, both in so many different ways, both by connecting children to the curriculum that they're learning in a new and engaging way by showing them and introducing them to people just like themselves who have pursued careers in STEM fields, but also connecting it to children in a multimedia kind of way as well, so that kids can take what they learn in the classroom and apply it online and learn more about it, and parents as well. My guest this morning is Justine Henning, the founder and CEO of Math for Science. And Justine, where can people go if they want to learn more information?
The first place to go is our website, mathforscience.org.
And that's the number four?
That's right. Math, that's the number four. Please donate. Please contact us. Let us know how you'd like to be involved. Check out our Explore Science pages. The first stage of growing this project has been to start to build a pool of STEM professionals that's diverse, that includes many women and members of different ethnic groups that are also represented in the schools across the United States.
Great. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Nonprofit Voice. We'll see you here next Saturday.